corps et de mettre le feu à son véhicule pour effacer les traces. En garde à vue, l'homme se défend et explique avoir inventé toute cette histoire.
Il a expliqué à nouveau qu'il avait effectivement bien fait ce récit d'un crime à son ex-compagne.
While rare, you can have such an occurrence as a trial for murder without a body. What I have not heard of is a murder trial with no victim. For the moment, this will continue not being the case, as a man arrested just last year in France is a free man today. Many, including the gendarmerie, believe he has, in fact, committed a murder, and even confessed. It is not the murderer, but rather the victim who is unknown, uncaught, and at large. Today, we will be discussing the confusing case of the cyclist of Ur.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Bonjour, mes amis. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I am Joe, joined as always by
Vincent Caldoni.
Ah, I see we are doing the crazy French accents.
the awful okay. Pepe Le Pew accent that all Americans do when called upon to talk about anything French. And yes. I've had enough French friends to tell you they hate it.
They hate Pepe Le Pew?
Oh, just that accent that we all do, like...
the silly French accent.
They hate it. It offends them. It hurts them personally, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, France, and all our French listeners. I apologize. And I apologize for Pepe Le Pew.
Yes. All right. We are officially done talking about Pepe Le Pew, and we are moving on to the cyclist of Ur.
The cyclist of Ur. Okay. It is not long ago, less than a year. It's spring 2022. And a woman calls the police, or as we'll call them here, the gendarmerie. Yes. This woman, we'll call her Marie, but her name has actually never been made public, not even her first name. In fact, we don't even know anything. We know nothing about her. We don't even know her nationality for sure. She's probably French, but we're not.
Oh, she could have been Polish, as we'll find out.
Yeah. The police withhold personal details like this from the media. But anyway, Marie, not her real name, tells the police that her ex-boyfriend called her the night prior and spun quite the yarn. So this ex, we'll call him Jan, is a Polish national living and working as a carpenter in France. Now, the ex told Marie, he drunk called her late at night, told Marie that he had been drinking, obviously, which is obvious to her, too. She knew him well, and he was usually wasted just about all the time, and definitely hardcore wasted at the time of this call. But through his hazy and teary recollections, he confessed to something unbelievable. He'd been drinking, and while trying to drive home, hammered, he entirely failed to notice somebody biking on the shoulder of the road, a rural road, by the way, which means out in the sticks, that he was driving on. He'd chosen this road precisely because he'd be less likely to run into the police because he was drunk. And he avoided trouble that way. And guess what? He found trouble anyway. Isn't that ironic? So he doesn't see this person on the bicycle. Ouch. Fateful.
Well, Jan, as we're calling him, he struck the woman with his Audi A4. And at first, he did the responsible thing. He stopped, exited the vehicle, and went to check on the woman. What he found was a woman who appeared to be at least a hard 40, but possibly as old as 60, laying dead in the road beside an older-looking bicycle. He described her as appearing like, and I'm using quotes here, a tramp, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Which is difficult to reverse translate, but from everything I can tell, she appeared to be either unhoused or living a highly transient lifestyle.
Okay, he didn't mean the other meaning of the word tramp, like she was dressed like a prostitute or something. He didn't mean that.
Does not seem that is what is intended, but you know, I'm translating this stuff out of French, and this is a recent story, and it hasn't done much to across the Atlantic. It only seems to be a story within France for the most part. Oh. though it has been a pretty big story over there. So Yan, at this point, you know, you could say he's, you know, like a type of a villain. This is pretty bad news out there driving drunk.
Not so far. I mean, driving drunk, yeah, that's not cool, but
you know. No. But whatever mistakes he's made up till this point, now he's standing there in this dark and deserted road, surrounded by the trees, abutted by miles and miles of farm country. And he made a choice that propelled him beyond the awfulness of driving under the influence and into something new. Yan takes the woman's body, as well as her bicycle, and he places it in his car. The body, at least. I don't know if they both are, but the body, at least, was in the trunk.
Yeah. I don't think you would get the bicycle in the trunk, not unless you took it apart.
No, yeah. Right. I have no idea. You know, I don't know how he said he moved the bicycle, but if you look at an Audi A4, it's hard to get a bike into any of it. So maybe he did take it part of the way apart.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah. Or maybe he just took it and just pushed it off into the bushes or something. Well, sometimes that's hard to find bushes in farm country.
That was not his narrative.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we should stick with his narrative for sure.
This is what he has told Marie. So he drives some distance until he finds this lonesome stretch of woods off the main road where he felt that she would never be found, and he then prepared to bury her there.
Luckily, he had a shovel.
He did. He's a carpenter.
Oh, good point. So he's out there in the woods at night digging a grave. I always love that, but not that I do that myself. But
I always love digging a grave in the middle of the night in the woods.
Nothing creepy about that, is there? Yeah. But so when the grave that he had dug was sufficiently deep to conceal his sin, Yan opened his car trunk to grab his cargo so he could deliver it to its final resting place. But when he opens the trunk, to his horror, he finds that the woman is alive and apparently pleading for her life. And he was moved by this, but also terrified. He felt like he was already kind of like all in on this, since she was, after all, in his trunk. You know, I mean, he could have made up a story. It's like, yeah, I was taken to the ER, but I had some boxes in the back seat and I couldn't put you there, so I stuffed you in the trunk. You know, I don't know. He could have made something.
Yeah.
I think he should have done something different, but I don't know. At this point, he felt a little boxed in by his previous poor decisions and by his own reasoning. And he was drunk, of course. There's no going back. So he makes the difficult call. Just like in the movies, he takes his shovel and beats her with it really hard again and again until she was finally dead. And hopefully she was dead, because, I mean, he buries her after this. I hope she was dead. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a tearful Yan places her and her bike into a shallow grave, the one he just dug, sets the bike on top of her before covering the woman's badly beaten body with dirt and debris and stuff. And then he made his escape. Now, once home, Yan continued drinking and stewing on the events of that night, and he needed to unburden his soul. He needed someone he could trust, but also he was a little bit of an idiot.
This is beyond stupid, you ask me, because guess who he calls? Possibly the worst possible person in the world to confide your dark, dark secret in. His ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
We don't know the details of Yan and Marie's relationship, or how it ended, for that matter. But it seems to me that, you know, and I think you as well would agree with this, that reading between the lines, most likely what was going on is Yan was a severe alcoholic, and it seems like Marie probably still had enough residual affection for him to, you know, pick up the phone when he dialed her late at night, drunk, of course, and to hear whatever he had to say, cheerful confessions or whatever. But, you know, overall, she just didn't want to be with him anymore because he was a hardcore drunk. I mean, it sounds like this guy's got a serious drinking
problem. Yeah, everything I've read says he was pretty serious drunk.
Yeah. And so that's probably why she ditched him. But she did answer the phone when he called, and he cried as he confessed what he had done. And this was just hours before. Mm-hmm. And he's pouring out his soul to his ex-girlfriend. And again, seems like kind of a dumb thing to do. As you'll know from my soon-to-be-published Crime Committer's Handbook, key to getting away with a crime is, number one, don't tell anybody. But most of all, don't tell your ex.
Don't tell anyone who ever could be your ex.
Yes.
This Marie, as we're calling her, she knew Yan, and she knew him in that way that partners do. Her intimacy with him led her to an intimacy with his disease. And she knew that when he was on a real get drunk. The narratives he wove weren't lies per se, but maybe more reflected a personal truth that would not be reconcilable with any objective truth that anyone not in his state of, you know, his chemically distressed, nervous mind would ever call true. And in short, Marie just kind of forgot about the whole thing. I mean, she put it out of her mind for the most part.
Well, in other words, she concluded he was FOS and just said, okay, whatever. But here's the thing, though, is that even though she didn't take it too seriously, she didn't totally forget about it. Apparently, the next day, she did tell someone. She mentioned it to a friend. And this friend, after hearing this, was kind of like, wow, Marie's not taking this seriously, but I wonder if this really did happen. And so she decided to walk by Jan's house at some point and wasn't really seriously concerned that, you know, there was going to be anything earth-shattering there. But turns out there was. She was horrified to see Jan's Audi A4 parked out front of his house, and his car, this car, which was his pride and joy, the most expensive thing he owned, apparently, and it was in a shambles. The bumper and the lights were damaged, and the windshield seemed to have been mashed in by some impact, like a body, maybe. Mm-hmm. And there was that spider web kind of impact fracturing going on, and kind of a stove-in little crater there in the middle of it. And there was a red substance there that looked kind of like blood. Mm-hmm. I got to say, if Jan drove home and parked his car and left freaking blood on the windshield, oh, my God, he's even stupider than I thought.
But, well, he was pretty drunk. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe ketchup. I don't know. But this person was thinking, oh, my God, that looks like blood. I mean, maybe it's ketchup. I don't know. But really, what else could it be than blood? I mean, nobody pours ketchup on a car, right? I mean, this could have been an animal's blood, like you run over a deer,
mm-hmm.
you know, but something, but it had to have been a living thing. I mean, what else is going to, like, you know, strike a windshield and cave it in and leave red liquid behind except some sort of living thing or
a human likely. Being,
a deer or something? So, wow. Right. So, wow, the friend was rather shocked to find out that Marie's story looked like it was true.
So the friend starts panicking, and she calls up Marie, who had told her the story, and Marie began to do some thinking, and she realized that while the story Jan had told her came from a disastrously messed up mind and seemed sensational, it didn't defy logic. Yeah. It was not beyond what she perceived Jan to be capable of. Now, the horror sets in. Marie didn't know what to do. She waited, it sounds like a day at least, before she phoned the gendarmerie.
Mm. Yeah, no rush. The old lady's dead, right? So, yeah.
it does seem like some time lapse. I'm not sure exactly what the timeline on this is.
Did she call Jan and say, like, oh, yeah, Frederica went by your house and noticed your car was all messed up? Looks like, you know.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But I don't know, and we're gonna get to this in actually just literally in the next section. And I guess I can preface this. It does seem, and this is a little foreshadowing, that Jan had an idea that he would be speaking with the police soon. So just keep that in mind. So how all this shook out, I'm limited to what the police have released because it's hard to get. You know, we don't have this person's name, Marie, or Marie's friend, or even Jan have not sat for any interviews or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she calls the cops and tells them the entire story. And as she talked through, the responding officer was moved from dismissive to thinking that there may be more here to investigate.
I can't imagine. The cops probably get a lot of phone calls to start out with something like, well, my ex-boyfriend, and they probably like just tune it out after that. But they apparently, by the end of the phone call, they were taking it seriously. And the gendarmerie dispatched some officers to go speak to Jan. And again, this is like, you know, less than a year ago, spring. He denied the entire story, apparently telling the officers that it was just a fantasy of a deranged and jealous ex-girlfriend or something like that. And the officers, you know, they were sympathetic. They saw that was a real possibility, but they knew that there was a possibility of more evidence than just Marie's say so. Mm-hmm. They caught a strange vibe off of Jan, you know, that kind of vibe that, you know, on the cop shows that, you know, they can always tell. And
gut feeling.
The perp is covering something up. But, there was something off about Jan. But, of course, there was something off about Jan. He was a hardcore alcoholic and probably might have suffered from a bit of mental illness, whether it was, you know, the cause of the alcoholism or perhaps brought on by the alcohol abuse. I don't know. Sure. But they did have one other card to play, which was the car. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what happened with the car? Tell us about that.
Well, the investigating detective asked Jan for a simple favor that would put the investigation to bed and the entire case to rest. He wanted to inspect the car. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking at this point about, like, forensic detailing. Just a quick look over, right?
Yeah.
We just take a look at your car. If it's not messed up and there's not blood on it, we don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, see if there's the outline of an old lady in a bicycle on the hood of the car.
Like a Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
We're back to Looney Tunes. Jan informed the cops that his car had recently been stolen in the short time between Marie's friend walking past and the police arriving at the door.
Yeah, that happens a lot in France, I hear. Yeah.
Yeah. So a follow-up revealed that this Audi A4, by all accounts, he loved this car. You know, and also, this is also, we should be clear, Audi A4 is a pretty nice car, and it's not your typical daily driver for an immigrant carpenter. Jan hadn't even reported this thing stolen. Right. So he loves this car. It's an expensive thing that he owns. And he doesn't even bother to tell anyone that it's stolen. That looks suspicious.
Yeah.
Worse yet, the car had been stolen sometime between the time which the gendarmerie, they may have reached out to him before coming over, like they scheduled an appointment, and the time that they actually got to his house.
Mm.
Not looking great.
It's interesting that they work this way because, you know, because he had enough time. They call him, say, we want to swing by and talk to you. And he's like, okay, just give me like 5 hours. And they're like, okay. And because, I mean, it would take a while to take your car out to God knows where and torch it, you know, and then make your way back to town. That's an interesting way for the, but again, this is probably not their most highest priority case either.
But yeah.
All in all, though, I mean, the situation didn't look good to the police.
No.
But that's time they had nothing to go on because they had no victims. So, all they were left
with.
And
to be fair, Joe, I have had the police call me up and say, we'd like to talk to you about something. Now, are you going to be around tomorrow? And I go, come on by. I don't have anything to hide. Like, whatever. And then it turns out to just be nothing. Yeah. So
they always want to talk about me, don't they?
Then everyone's like, what is Joe been doing, dude? What is up with that guy?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, I know nothing, copper.
They're all keeping tabs on me. I know. anyway, the cops didn't have much they could do at this point in time. They left their notes, but they did return with a warrant. And they did that a little more hastily, I understand, than with the initial visit.
Seems like, yeah.
Yeah, they did a pretty thorough forensic investigation at Jan's home. And they had their top forensic investigators in on this, and the gendarmerie found nothing in Jan's house. Nothing. No blood evidence. And again, you think you would have found something. Jan said, doesn't sound to me like a master criminal, Jan, and he would have probably changed his clothes, but probably would have just thrown his dirty, bloody clothes into the laundry hamper, right? He's that kind of a guy, probably, that kind of a dumbass. But no evidence of a cleanup or anything like that. And the dogs could trace nothing. They got the sniffer dogs in there, and they couldn't detect anything. So he appeared innocent. That's for the car getting stolen. Well, that was suspicious timing, but cars do get stolen.
Stuff can happen.
Even in France, you know, it's not just here in the U.S. It happens in other places.
We're not the only country with Grand Theft Auto.
No, we're not. Yeah.
So just a few days later, his Audi was located. It was found in a grove of trees just outside of town where... Yeah. Well, sort of. It had been burned in a massive fire.
Oh, whoopsie. That's too bad. Yeah.
Now, could some thieves have taken this nice car out for a joyride and drove it around for a while and then burnt it just to be vandals? Of course, that's totally possible. But, and I don't know all of the details on this, but the state of the car seemed to indicate that it wasn't just lit on fire, but that it had been burned to destroy evidence. And of course, you know, they brought in auto arson experts and they worked over the car. And their conclusion was that it seemed to be destroying evidence. One thing I've heard but could not confirm is the fire started in the trunk, which would say that he wanted to burn away the evidence that there'd been a body in there.
Yeah, that would be a priority Yeah. It's certainly, I mean, even if thieves didn't, thieves are not likely to burn the car, not unless they're true jerks. I mean, it could happen, but would they be so thorough about the whole thing that they would open up the trunk and dump some gasoline in there as well, you know, and torch it? Maybe, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, if you were going to burn a car, it would seem like you'd probably ball up some newspaper in the back seat, light it on fire, and walk away. Not necessarily, it would sound like it was a pretty substantial fire had burned this car.
Yeah.
The gendarmerie were convinced that they had enough to move forward. Jan was arrested. But there's something missing. And just out of curiosity, have you guys thought about what it is yet?
Yeah.
It's the victim.
Yeah.
There isn't a victim. Gendarmerie knew that while they may have their man, they needed a victim or at least a body or something like that to make this case to mean anything at all in court.
Yeah.
And if you're anyway familiar with the way that like police procedural shows, for example, or novels work, you know that there's one last stop, right, for like some detectives who are out to get their man, and that's the box.
That's right. Put him in the box and interrogate the crap out of him for, mm-hmm. you know, in America, that doesn't go on for very long. But apparently in France, it can go on for a while. Things are
for like
different
weeks, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah, they had to get a confession from Jan because they had nothing else. I mean, it's one thing to try somebody for murder without a body. That's hard, but it's, you know, and it's rare, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. But you have to have a specific victim, you know, that you know the name of, right, and you know he's disappeared, you know he's not likely to just disappear, and mm-hmm. you know that Jan over here has a strong motive to kill him, okay, then maybe you'll get a but in this case you don't even have a victim, you don't have a name or anything, so they had to get a confession if they wanted to build any sort of a case. So if they had a signed confession plus a body, which presumably they would be able to get mm-hmm. with the confession, they'd be able to get him to lead them to the body. They'd have a nice little cakewalk of a trial, you know? Mm-hmm. And as we were just mentioned a moment ago, the French legal system is a little different from the way it is in the U.S. A suspect mm-hmm. can be held for much longer without being charged over there than here. Mm-hmm. So apparently they kept him for weeks, sweating him. And mm-hmm. they grilled him and grilled him and grilled him.
Over time, he did cave, and he told them a story that was similar, but apparently not identical to the one that he told Marie. The story's pretty familiar. He had struck an elderly woman with his car. He'd buried her and everything. The French prosecutors were willing to talk with Jan about some leniency in sentencing if he took them to where the body was buried, which is comical because, you know, French law, trying someone for murder without a body is even rarer than it is here. But for one reason or the other, Jan agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He escorted the cops to a grove along the road he'd allegedly confessed to running the cyclist down on. And a thorough investigation of the site yielded not only no body, no grave, no evidence that Jan or his Audi had ever been there. The place looked undisturbed. So this case is now falling apart.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I presume they checked other groves in the area, too, to see if there were graves.
Yes.
I mean, here's the thing about it is he made their job easier if he was telling the truth, because he left the friggin' bicycle in the grave on top of her. You know, you don't even need a sniffer dog. Just bring in a guy with a metal detector.
That's a good point.
But they put out, the police put out a desperate call to the French media. Did anyone know a missing woman somewhere in the 40 to 60-year-old range?
Right.
And were there any people matching that description missing in France? Also, they wanted to know if anybody had seen a bicyclist on that road on the day in question. Time was running out. They could only hold Jan for so long. And so while he's in custody, the story grows across France and also neighboring countries. And they kept interviewing him. And the word is out. I think and anybody that was out there that had seen an old lady bicycling down that road would have come forward.
To be fair, they didn't just leave it at the papers. They went and talked to people. They would do, they tried to find people, and they did find people who had been on that road that night at around the time that Jan was reporting to ask if they'd seen a cyclist out there. And all of it came back, no, nobody knew who this person was. So they tried to ask locals, do you ever see a woman biking on this road at night? No. There was just nothing they could do to even confirm the theoretical existence of this cyclist outside of Jan himself.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. And it does seem like, you know, most people would know better than to go bicycling on a dark rural road at night, but probably a dangerous thing to do in the daylight, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, they're still interrogating old Jan. They got a new confession from him. So now he's telling the authorities that he'd only lied to Marie about the cyclist to get her sympathy, which he wanted because he was lonely. Although other sources apparently have in the French press have reported that his second confession said that his phone call to Marie was a joke of some kind. Mm. And so, you know, it was never a serious thing. And he didn't give the police any explanation for what Marie's friend had seen in his driveway in terms of the damage to his car. But he did, in fact, confess that he had burnt his car once he learned that the cops were coming to talk to him. So that's interesting.
Now, I would imagine some of us are saying he must have been lying. But here's the thing. For months of searching, they had nothing to show. The gendarmerie hadn't uncovered any people reported missing that they could possibly match the alleged victim's descriptions. Moreover, everything about Jan's confession, his second or third confession, depending on how you want to count it, held up. He said he'd wanted sympathy from his ex and that he'd never hurt anybody. The car was fine, but the authorities just had him freaked out. He wasn't in his home country. He was afraid he would be kicked out of France for driving drunk, which is a thing that can happen. So he burnt his car. It doesn't make perfect sense. But
no, it really doesn't.
There's more evidence for that than that he actually ran someone over.
Yeah, there is. I mean, again, burning the car doesn't exactly get you out of the drunk driving thing. I mean, I don't see, one way or the other. But,
no, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, so these are the tales, it sounds like, a liar, or at least, I don't know, somebody who maybe his mind just isn't quite straight either. Maybe you really can't call him a liar. I'm not sure. But it all checks out. He didn't kill anybody. I mean, there was a massive media push, despite which no one was ever credibly identified, at least not yet, as a prospective victim. Not even a sniff. I mean, nothing. And no one matching the description or even close could be correlated to this confession. Nobody. Nobody at all. And worse yet, for the police's case, even Marie would say, he said that to them and would say in court one that when intoxicated, Jan would make stuff up and that he would really seriously, sincerely confuse real life events with fiction. And as far as witness testimony, there's only one person who ever actually saw blood on the car. I'd say this person is lying, but that's a pretty thin case. And again, person just saw something red on the car too. I mean, so, I don't know.
Yeah, even she didn't seem, at least if I read between the lines, didn't seem 100% convinced it was blood.
Yeah.
So after an extensive investigation, the authorities let Jan go and he immediately returned to Poland. And that news came out in November. And since then, very little new information has been released. There have been some articles, but they basically rehash old information. I do know that the gendarmerie are kind of keeping tabs on him in Poland. If they find anything, they will be able to get him back. These are two EU countries. But it would seem that what the gendarmerie is focusing on is finding the victim while assuring the public that Jan's whereabouts are known and that they haven't lost him. But that's kind of it. So what really happened?
Let me hold off on that. Let's break for commercials and then I'll toss out my another one of my many theories. And
Joe's got some gangbusters theories. We're always off this.
Yeah, exactly. No Bigfoot this time, I'm sorry to tell you, but first the commercials. All right, we'll be right back.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And we are back with our crazy French accents. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. It's in the theories, and there's several, I guess. Theory number one is that Jan is a killer who's almost been caught, and somehow miraculously, when they didn't find the body, they must have looked in the wrong place, I guess. I don't know. Jan told Marie the truth, but then backpedaled when the cops showed up at his doorstep, and he destroyed the evidence that was left in his car, because no doubt there was evidence in his trunk. There must have been. She must have bled. And seriously, you can clean that trunk all you want, but the guy, you know, the cops and the dogs and the lab techs will find evidence in there. So burning the car probably was about the only way to get rid of that evidence. But still, I mean, even though, so, you know, that, and that all makes sense, but still, who was the victim?
Yeah.
So assuming that, presuming that he's a killer, his victim hasn't been found yet. We're not just talking her bones, but her identity.
No idea.
But she will be at some point. It's possible that maybe this woman was a shut-in who only went out at night, perhaps.
And these are theories I've gleaned off the internet.
It could have been a homeless person, maybe even somebody who was not even French, who'd who just sashayed across the border from Belgium or somewhere else and was living in the shrubberies in France and just living off the fat of the land, but nobody had any clue that she actually even existed in France, and that's who he ran over.
That's what it'd have to be. Which is not super common over there. Most people that age would be drawing some kind of pension. Mm-hmm. Someone would have a job. There's really not an active missing persons case in France that lines up at all with this mystery. And you mentioned Belgium. Actually, apparently the cops were looking in Belgium, thinking, I don't know if they had a lead or if it was just a hunch. And nothing really lines up in neighboring countries like Belgium either.
Well, she was riding a bicycle. And the Belgians are big on bikes, aren't they? There you go.
I think so.
Open and shut.
There is a popular place to bicycle.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's entirely possible this one is true. And one of these days they will stumble across a lead. They'll find out who the old lady was, and they'll actually maybe find her body too. Assuming he was telling the truth. I mean, he could have honestly believed he was taking the police back to the spot where he buried the body, but he just had the wrong spot. He had the wrong grove of trees.
It's possible.
I have to assume the police would be smart enough to go, like I said earlier, go check any other similar looking grove. It would be somewhere just off that road, right?
Yeah. From my understanding is that they've studied his route he says he took home and searched along there, as well as some other places from where they can confirm he was drinking to his house. Unfortunately, I don't know where either of those locations are, so I couldn't go pull a Joe and go Google search it myself, because I don't know where he was drinking and where his home was. I couldn't do that myself. They really searched all that.
Yeah, they're withholding all the information. It's annoying. Must be really frustrated to be a true crime podcaster in France.
I think that actually, I do wish that I had some idea, like he was at this bar or this person's house, and then he drove here and he would have went there. Because what if you took him to the wrong road? And then I would wonder, did the cops search this other road he could have taken, like an alternate route? Mm-hmm. And I have no way to say that. But what I do know is that the police have at least said that they've searched all along the route and other places trying to see if there was evidence of a body being dumped. At the very least, what I can tell you is they sure haven't found that.
Yeah. So there you go. It's disappointing. You'd think they would have found at least a body. That would have been the irony of the whole thing, if some serial killer had dumped a body out there, you know, and in roughly the same spot, old Jan would be behind bars right now.
Yeah, that's some Coen Brothers stuff right there.
Isn't it, though, right? I mean, all right, well, that's theory number one. What's another theory?
Theory number two is that Jan didn't kill anyone. This basically would say that he's more or less telling the police the truth after kind of waffling. Jan has stated that he wanted his ex back, and that he drunkenly told Marie this wild story to get her sympathy and maybe win her back somehow.
That's a really strange strategy. Don't you think?
I don't know how that's supposed to work, but it wouldn't rate as the most misguided means some cad had ever deployed in an attempt to win back a lady's affection. But yeesh, dude, come on. I mean,
I know. Seriously. I mean, definitely. I could totally get going out there and telling lies or whatever it takes to get the girl back, but thinking that, I ran over a little old lady and I beat her to death with a shovel and buried her corpse in the woods, and that's going to win her heart for sure, dude. I mean,
confessing to a disgraceful homicide is not maybe the way to do that, but you know what I mean, the guy was drinking. I don't know, maybe he thought that would somehow work. I mean, this would explain why there's no body, there's no even potential victims. But then it would make you wonder, if he'd done that, why would he destroy the evidence? Even if the cops traumatized him into confessing to something he didn't do, why burn the car? It doesn't make any sense.
Although I have one thought about that, which is that what if The car itself was already stolen. What if you'd gotten yourself a car off the black market that was that, you know, and he'd gotten it at a massive discount because it was stolen? And so he didn't want the cops looking at the car for that reason, not because there was evidence of a corpse in it, but just because, you know, it wasn't really legally owned by him.
That may come. That may come out, because I doubt he was able to destroy like VIN numbers and stuff. And there certainly he didn't destroy records that he'd never bought this specific model of car. So maybe the police are holding that back. At the very least, I don't know. I just don't. None of it makes a lot of sense, honestly.
That's my one theory that would make the destruction of the car kind of consistent with his ridiculous story. And I got to say, I mean, we all do dumb things when we're drunk. But this guy had it worse than most of us. It sounds to me like he had poor judgment. It couldn't have been just the alcohol causing that. Something tells me even sober, this guy does dumb things.
I'm not sure he's ever sober, but
anyway, I don't know.
Well, that kind of dovetails with theory number three. Can I go into that?
Yeah, let's talk about theory number three here. Yeah.
So this is my personal theory, which is that there is a truth, but we'll have a hard time getting at it because Jan is confused.
You think that he might be mixing and confusing reality with his dreams and with fiction, right? That kind of thing. Yeah.
So So when I was first looking at this case, I was seeing it kind of binarily, right? There's a truth. And then there's some lies that someone told, right? One thing must be the case. You know, either Jan killed someone or Jan didn't kill someone. But I actually think the truth might actually drop somewhere into an uncomfortable middle ground. Maybe Jan suffered a blackout. Maybe what he told Marie isn't true because all parties agree that he's crap-faced drunk, right? And he may have been trying to manipulate her. Jan is known to be a severe alcoholic, and in addition to suffering blackouts, he may actually be experiencing alcohol-related dementia, where many times, among many other things, a person can become dissociative, and that can lead them to create false narratives. So it's possible Jan doesn't remember what he did, but did notice something with his car, with the windscreen, etc. And just like Marie's friend, decided to destroy any potential evidence just to cover his ass.
It might have been that something did happen on that road. Maybe he hit a deer.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was like too traumatic for him. You know, in mixing reality and fiction too, I'm reminded of that scene from Goodfellas.
Right,
when they're transporting the corpse, right at the beginning of the movie, they're transporting that dead guy in the trunk of the car, and they pop up in the trunk, and the guy's still alive. Oh my God! Mm-hmm. So they have to kill him. Yeah, isn't it very reminiscent of that scene? Confusing fiction and fact. I mean, I had an older relative who told me a few stories one time when she was, you know, really getting along in years, and it was apparent from listening to her talk and tell the story that she had just had a dream. But was confusing the dream with reality. It's really sad when people get to that point. It sounds like Jan's through alcohol abuse and God knows what else has reached that point a lot earlier than my old relative did. She at least had the excuse of being, you know, really advanced in years.
I will just tip my hand early and say this is kind of the theory I go on, but then I also don't know if he actually killed somebody. What if he actually did kill somebody, but where his reality is flickering in and out is that he's completely mistaken about where he was, that he was in a different part of the state.
Yeah, and he didn't run over an old lady on a bicycle. Maybe ran over some old guy or something like that.
Foot. And then the whole thing's different. You're looking for a female cyclist between 40 and 60 on this road, when in fact it's a different road in a different place, and it was a man on foot. He still could have killed somebody. Or maybe the whole story about the shovel and stuff isn't true, and there's someone in a hospital who's a victim of a hit and run that they just haven't tracked down yet who actually lived. It's hard to say. I don't know, but I do think there's a chance that Jan is too unreliable a narrator to glean enough truth from the narrative to be able to make a definitive call. So this is kind of where my instinct leans.
The another thing about his story that doesn't quite add up is if he put her in the trunk, finds a place to bury her, gets out. Well, the shovel should, if, you know, should be in the trunk of the car. It should be under her body. Mm-hmm. So, but he says he actually went and dug the grave and then discovered that she was still alive and beat her to death with a shovel. But yeah. Shouldn't he have opened the trunk and discovered her still alive before he even got the shovel and started digging the grave?
Hard to say. I mean, I can think of
really makes sense, you know?
No, it doesn't. And I mean, I guess he's a carpenter, so maybe that would explain why he had a shovel, but who are people? Well,
the carpenters really need shovels. It's, they need hammers and nails and saws, you know, but not shovels. But no, a lot of people actually carry shovels in their cars.
Okay, enough. And who knows what kind of shovel it was. Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, it's tough. Like, I don't even really know if a full-size shovel would even fit in an Audi A4 trunk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. Like, and there's just so many issues that where I'm like, wait, did this really happen? Could this have even happened? We're talking about the car, right? The A4 is a fairly compact car. So I guess he would have had a toolbox with him, and then maybe he removed the front tire, and that's how he was able to get the bike into the, there's just so many questions that I have. And some of this may be also that the police haven't released the full details. He may have told Marie all this stuff in good detail, and that just hasn't been made public. So there's that possibility.
No, I mean, the bicycle, even with the front, I mean, it could have been a really small bike, I guess, but even with the front tire off, it seems unlikely he could have gotten it into the trunk, especially with her body in the trunk as well.
No, it doesn't quite work.
Maybe the back seat, but this is his prized possession.
Yeah.
Would you want to stuff a crusty old bicycle in the back seat of your nice car?
Hard to say.
Would you want to do that? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't, but maybe if I was desperate to cover up what I thought was a murder, I would do that. I don't, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense, and that leads me to believe that maybe Jan is, maybe part of why we don't understand what happens, whether even is a mystery, is that Jan himself doesn't really know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds like, he probably doesn't quite know what happened. He's confusing reality and fiction, and
I don't know. I'd like to think that'd be the best case, right? No one's no one's mother or sister is buried in a shallow grave in rural France. That'd be great, but it's hard to say.
Well, probably something he got killed. He probably ran over a rabbit or a deer or something. I don't know, but yeah.
I do think that might be possible that he hit an animal and that's what the friend saw. And then he just couldn't remember what he did or whatever. And that's why he burned the car. And that's why he panicked and gave the cops different stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's possible, but I don't know that I can. I wouldn't say that for certain, and I hope they keep investigating and they don't write it off. It doesn't seem like they are.
Yeah.
So I do want to throw one last. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's see. Well, we got a couple more theories that we haven't talked about aliens yet. I don't know. You want to talk about aliens, or you want to talk about your Matrix theory first?
Well, you can talk about aliens, and I want to talk about a glitch in the Matrix.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, what if you ran over an alien? What if the aliens? This alien was out on an exploratory mission, disguised himself as a middle to old age lady, and his little anti-gravity scooter was disguised as a crusty old bicycle, and he just dipped down for a closer look at the roadbed, and suddenly, boom! Here comes Jan and nails the alien, and takes the alien off to bury him or her, whatever, you know, and then the alien gets whomped on by the shovel again. But eventually his brethren come along and tractor beam him back up to the ship. And they're like, dude, it's got two black eyes. You know, well, dude, what the hell happened to you, man? And he's like, oh, why do they whomp me with a freaking shovel? I can't wait to wash my hands of these guys and vaporize this planet. Jesus Christ. That's fine. That could be. I mean, so aliens. There you go.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so I just, we like to do wild card theories on this show. And my wild card theory, it's not going to be Chupacabra, Wendigo, Sasquatch type stuff. But I don't think any of that fits here. But I do want to throw out that there may have been maybe some kind of glitch in the Matrix, right? Yeah. And that in his inebriated state, somehow he just missed the universe clicking over from one reality to a new one. Mm-hmm. And his victim stayed behind on Earth Prime or whatever, while we all branched out into a spiraling new set of realities where the cyclist was never hit and may have never even been on the road.
Yeah. Huh? Well, yeah. I mean, and if you buy the Matrix thing, everything, all of our memories are just basically computer files. And so if you've got corrupted files and,
right.
And you've got some gibberish in there, then, he's honestly remembering things just as the Matrix meant him to do.
I mean, if you think about it, like I always think about things like movies, right? I think that'd be a really cinematic you know, that'd be a really cool, interesting scene, right? Like the suspect takes the cops back to the Grove. And we've seen it already in the movie, right? In the movie about the glitching matrix, right?
Yeah.
He says, this is where I did it. This is where I buried her. I confess. I throw myself on the mercy of the court. The cops look around and they're like, there's nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
and the guy's like, what? And then the audience, of course, is like, well, no, this is the place. We saw it. You know, there's some visual landmarks or whatever. I don't know. I just think that's cool. But I don't actually think that's what happened. I still go with theory number three. Where do you land?
I'm kind of like... Well, a glitch in the matrix actually is just as it's pretty much the same thing as him being confused and confusing reality with fiction. Right. It pretty much is the same thing when you come down to it. But
it's a glitch in everybody's matrix versus a glitch in his matrix.
Yeah, it could be happening to all of us. But I think that probably he is confused and actually has a little bit of early onset dementia from alcohol abuse and is confusing reality with fiction. Because again, I'm struck by the similarity between that scene in Goodfellas and his own.
That's a good point. That's a good catch.
Yeah, I think he probably hit something like a deer out there. And, that's what happened. He hit the deer. And then in his mind, he constructed this whole other thing that happened, to explain his crunched up car. And
I don't know what kind of deer they have in France, but I have heard people tell that they hit a mule deer, specifically mule deer, because they're great jumpers.
Uh-huh.
And that when they saw the deer, you know, fly into their headlights, bounce off the car, just that quick half a second, they thought it was a person. And they didn't realize until they got out of the car that hit a deer.
Mm-hmm.
Now you add some, like a real, like not just I had too much to drink, but like a day's, weeks long drunk to that. I could see that. I could see you getting mixed up. You have that moment where you think you hit a person.
Holy crap, man. That's just like...
Yeah. And it sticks with you.
I mean, I would much rather pop up in my trunk and find out the little old lady is still alive than pop up in the trunk and find out the angry deer is still alive. I got to tell you that.
they're not reliable, but I've definitely heard that story too.
but that deer will kick the snot out of you. But,
they're strong.
They are, and they have sharp little hooves. But anyway, so
I'm going with,
but yeah, I think he probably did hit a deer or something. And yeah, that's an interesting point too. The antlers, what if the antlers could kind of almost resemble a bicycle, you know?
Yeah,
going right, over like the top the handlebars. Of the car, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, or it could resemble a Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
What if this is what happened?
Jan
killed the Wendigo.
He did? Okay, well, actually, that's pin a freaking medal on that guy. I think so. That would be great, wouldn't it? That'd be, what a great ending for your horror movie. You know, the Wendigo the Wendigo gets run down by some drunk redneck in a pickup truck, you know?
He doesn't even mean to do it.
Oh, man, I hope you're making notes for your next movie.
My next movie is going to be off the scales.
Yeah, definitely. We got to sit down and do some brainstorming here. But anyway, I that's about it for me. You got any further thoughts on this before we sign off for the week?
I think we've done it, Joe. I think we've covered every angle of this. I definitely should note that, and I know we said it, but I just want to reinforce with everyone, this is a developing story. And I think there actually could be a resolution to this one. So, you know, stay tuned. Keep checking in with us. Yeah. Follow us on social media. And I will update you guys if we hear anything more about it. And I hope that we do, honestly.
Yeah, and we might. Very, very extremely possible. Hopefully there won't be any updates before you hear this. I mean, that would be super annoying. You know, hopefully the French police will at least wait a couple of weeks before they make any announcements. But anyway, okay. So like Vincent said, stay tuned. And also stay tuned for the next moment or so to hear the lovely Tess tell you how to find us on social media and how to send us an email. That's important.
Yeah,
we want to hear from you. Absolutely. And also, of course, please leave us a rating and a review, a good rating and a good review, wherever you get this fine podcast from. We appreciate it. Helps us. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It helps us so much to build audience. And, you know, we've been kind of on a streak. So, yeah, please help us get some more of your listeners.
Please. Oh, please. Oh, please. We're so sad. Please.
That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do.
Oh, yeah, I was drunk. I ran over a listener and threw him in my trunk. Yeah, I'm trying to get sympathy from our listeners right now.
Oh, that's what you were doing?
Is it working? Yeah,
no, I think it's I think it's time for you to take a nap in the back of your A4.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyway, toodaloo or arrivederci or whatever they say in France. So long, folks.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.